Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on the Week 2 preview show is Colin Weatherwax. Colin, how did Week 1 work for you?
I only won one league, sadly. It was, I'm in five that really matter to me. The other four were like where I'm the second highest scorer and I play the main highest scorer, you know, some of those tough break ones. But overall, it was a pretty good week. I think we learned a lot and still a lot more to learn moving forward, though.
Yeah, I think I won about just over 50% of my leagues. What really killed me was I got knocked out in two of my four survivor pools.
Ah, the old Lions one, or
yeah,
was it
Lions
the Saints?
And Saints.
Yep.
So, which I don't know what I was doing because typically I don't like picking the Monday night game or the Thursday night game. Typically, I want to pick a Sunday game, and I did not pick the Ravens. Which
wow.
I don't know. Like I was joking with my wife that I must have gotten drunk or something and made my picks. And for those who don't know, I don't drink. So because I have no idea how I didn't pick the Ravens with any of my picks, considering they're playing the Bills. But you can be damn sure I'm going up against the Bills this week for my survivor picks.
Oh, yeah.
So
go back to the well. And then they'll, Josh Allen will come out and throw for 400 yards.
Let's just jump right in. We'll start with Thursday Night Football. Hopefully I will have this up in time for Thursday Night Football. We have the Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. Baltimore absolutely dismantled Buffalo, but I think that has a lot to do with how bad Buffalo is as opposed to how good Baltimore is. So the one thing I'm going to be looking for is how good is this Ravens team? Because honestly, I don't think we learned much from week one.
Yeah, there's not much to learn. Whenever you go up as big as they did and it was such a blowout, they started to rest most of their starters the rest of the game. So this is one of the teams that there's still a lot more to learn about them. However, what we saw against Buffalo, Joe Flacco throwing for three touchdowns, each to a different receiver that they picked up in the offseason, one to Crabtree, John Brown, and Willie Snead. So that was a little exciting if you invested in any of the new faces in the Ravens. But I'm just kind of curious, is it going to be that even split moving forward for those wide receivers, or is one of them going to take the reins?
Well, John Brown won't be healthy long enough for it to matter. So, I think eventually it'll work itself out. But I think I'm super discouraged if I'm invested in any part of this Baltimore offense. One, I am worried that they trust three running backs, that once Collins was pulled when they got up, they kind of alternated between Allen and Dixon. Dixon looked like the best back on the field, at least on the
Baltimore
side.
Did you see the news on Dixon, though? He's actually on the IR. I saw that this morning.
Oh,
yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, of course that happened. Unfortunately, I've been dealing with my own issues of IR in and out of the hospital the last couple days. Since finishing my article for Fantasy Alarm on Wednesday, I haven't really done much of anything.
Yeah, I've seen it on Twitter. But I did wake up to the news this morning that he was put on IR with a knee injury. I was actually really excited about him and got him in a few best balls just because of, like you said, he actually looked good, in the first game, and I liked what he did as a rookie. He missed all last year, but I think that kind of solidifies at least Collins' role for me. I want to see a tight game, which I think we'll see tonight, and see his usage because, the usage for the first game was very skewed because of, how much they got up and they wanted to rest their starters, but he only saw 44% of the plays. So I think that's a little fluky. We'll get to know a little bit more whenever they actually play a real team besides the Bills. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he can take the reins on that job.
Do you think after watching the Colts and Bengals game that this Bengals defense is good enough to kind of give them a test?
Yeah, I think so. Just because it's Joe Flacco, mm-hmm. We've seen good and bad performances from him for his whole career. I don't think that, it's any better than the Colts offense. I still think there's some, fantasy relevance to some of the starters that you're going to start anyways from the Ravens. I'm definitely not scared of the Bengals defense, but I do think, like you've said before on Thursday night games, it's probably going to be a bloodbath. This is rivals. So It's probably not going to be high scoring just because of that. And, you know, I'm just basically starting my studs in this game. I'll start AJ Green, I'll start Joe Mixon and Alex Collins, and then everything else is a crapshoot for me.
Let's talk about Joe Mixon. He rushed 17 carries, had 95 yards and a touchdown. It was against the Colts. But the offensive line in Cincinnati does look a little bit better. I don't want to say great. But for me, the big thing was he caught five passes. Giovanni Bernard only had one catch. They're going to give Mixon the whole load, it appears.
Yeah, it looks like it. He got 79% of the snaps in the first game, which is great for Joe Mixon owners. He was right there in the top 10 for snap percentages for last week. So I think there were a lot of people that were considering Gio Bernard being a flex option most weeks for him. And if Joe Mixon can continue to, you know, provide that snap percentage, then it's going to be really hard for Gio Bernard to actually be fantasy relevant, which is great for Joe Mixon owners. I don't think he is.
I think at this point he is droppable except for in deeper formats.
Yeah, unless you're one of the guys that likes to handcuff, which isn't me. But
I don't think that Gio is necessarily a handcuff. I don't mind handcuffing if you know that the guy you're handcuffing him to is, like, definitely the next man up. I think it would become a committee with him and Mark Walton.
Possibly, but there's a lot more trust with Andy Dalton and Gio Bernard. He's been there. He's electric. You know, he does have his niche with the screens and then out of the backfield as well. But if you drafted Mixon, you definitely like what you saw the first week. I would temper expectations for this game. Baltimore's defense, it was against the Buffalo Bills. They almost shut him out, but you know, they are pretty good, and that was with some of the backups that gave up the few points that they gave up. So I would definitely temper expectations for this week's game.
Completely agree. Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Ravens are favored by one. Who do you got?
I'll take Baltimore in the points.
Yeah, I'll take Baltimore as well. All right, let's move on. Talk about Carolina at the Atlanta Falcons. What do you got in this game?
Well, Greg Olsen is hurt again. That was tough to see. Luckily, I don't have any shares of him. I was a little bit worried coming off the injury. But one of the stats that kind of jumped out to me on an article I was reading today was Christian McCaffrey's usage with and without Greg Olsen. Last year, whenever Greg Olsen played, McCaffrey only had 39 targets on 187 routes, which produced almost 12 fantasy points per game. And then moving into whenever Olsen was not on the field, he had 71 targets on 259 routes, which resulted in about 16 points per game. So if you're a Christian McCaffrey owner, you know, coming from this news that Greg Olsen won't be on the field, I'm really excited about that. And also Atlanta just lost their speedy linebacker and all-pro safety as well. So, you know, this defense definitely has some holes that Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey should be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, I'm not as stoked about Greg Olsen being out. I mean, thankfully, the only league I have him in this year is a league with an IR slot or a few IR slots. So at least I can kind of slide him in there until he's back, or if he comes back. But it's super discouraging. You know what else is super discouraging? DJ Moore did not record a pass.
Yeah, he was only on the field for a quarter of the snaps, so it's kind of hard to get involved in the game plan whenever you're only on there on the field 25% of the time. And if Cam can't get the wide receivers the ball against the Cowboys, I know it's Atlanta. I know they just lost two of their all-pro, you know, defensive stars, but it's going to be tough sledding for Funchess or DJ Moore to get involved in this game plan. And, you know, the guy that led the targets was Jarius Wright. I mean, go figure
that
on
guy,
that.
That guy won't leave. I don't know how many times I was like, oh, I can't wait for this guy to break out in Minnesota. And then all of a sudden, who the hell is Jarius Wright?
Yeah, so, I mean, he's going up against Atlanta. Like I said, they lost some defensive stars. I'm still a little bit worried just because it's Cam. I'm not sure. I'll probably start Funchess, but I don't think you can trust DJ Moore until we actually see the breakout game for him.
You have to stash him and just hope that they start working him in more and more. So, all right, we have the Carolina Panthers. Oh, let's talk about the Atlanta side of the ball. How worried are you about Matt Ryan? Because he looked like absolute garbage on Thursday night.
You know, I'm going to go to your well. I'm going to, you know, stoke it up to the Thursday night game, hoping that he'll bounce back. I know Carolina has a pretty good defense, but I'm still going to keep him on my roster. I'll probably bench him this week if I have a better option. But I'm really worried about the running backs. You know, a lot of people drafted Devontae Freeman as, you know, kind of a lower end mid-tier RB2 this year, maybe even close to RB1. But, you know, coming out of that game, him and Tevin Coleman basically split the time. It was, you know, it was 56% for Freeman and 51% for Coleman. And that's a little bit scary for me.
That was because he was banged up. I think if he hadn't gotten injured in that game, he would have had way more carries.
Yeah, that's possible. I'm a little bit worried just moving forward, though. If that's going to be the regular split for them, I probably don't want any shares of this backfield. And then another disappointing receiver, Calvin Ridley, who I'm super high on, had zero targets.
What happened to Ridley?
I know. I mean, it might have just been this first week. I'm hoping that he'll actually have a breakout game pretty soon because I have him stashed on my bench in a few leagues, and I'm definitely not going to cut bait. And that's the one thing, you know, coming off week one.
I don't know, man. At this point, like, and I like the talent and stuff like that. He did not play a single snap on offense. He played 4 snaps the entire game, and they were all on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little scary, but one of the things that I don't want to do after week one is make rash decisions.
Sure.
Is dropping a guy like him, dropping a guy with his talent.
I don't tend to make any real moves week one unless it's injury-related.
Yeah, the only thing that I do is I scour, you know, my league mates and see who they drop to pick up the Philip Lindsay's of the world. So yeah. I've seen Rex Burkhead dropped. I've seen Matthew Stafford dropped, and I've put in claims for them already.
Who dropped Rex Burkhead?
I don't know. I think he dropped him for Philip Lindsay in one of my main leagues. Oh. So I've already put in a claim for him.
That's insane. All right, Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. Who you got?
Give me Atlanta. I think they bounce back.
I'm going to take Atlanta, but I'm going to say that the Panthers cover.
Okay.
So, all right. Los Angeles Chargers at the Buffalo Bills. I don't know. Like I said, I've been kind of down and out the last couple days because of my own health issues. Have they announced who's starting this game for Buffalo?
Yes, it's Josh Allen.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better, but I still don't want to start any Bills except for LeSean McCoy.
You know, I said last week that I didn't even feel comfortable starting McCoy. You know, if you have to, I mean, where you drafted him, you probably have to, but I'm avoiding him at all costs in DFS.
Yeah, I know, for sure in DFS, but I think unless you have, you know, like I've got one league in which, oh, it's the Friends of Fantasy Benefit Staff League. I think, or maybe actually, maybe it's Barf. I took McCoy as my third running back. And so, like, in a league like that, I can go, okay, I'm going to sit him. But I think in most people's situations, they didn't get such a deal on McCoy that they're able to actually sit the guy. Unless
yeah.
They got lucky somewhere else in the draft.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, he's basically the only guy that I want on there. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin didn't do anything in week one. The rest of their receivers, I mean, who are they, first of all?
Kelvin Benjamin, Zay Jones, and I think Curley?
Yeah, I mean, those are guys that I definitely don't have any interest in, especially going up against the Chargers. I think they have a pretty solid defense as well. So, you know, for the Bills, it's basically LeSean McCoy if you have to, but that's about it.
Okay, what about the Chargers side of the ball? Obviously, Mike Williams had a nice game, 5 catches for 81 yards. Terrell Williams, he got the touchdown, but only 2 passes or 2 catches for 8 yards. I mean, obviously you're starting Gordon, obviously you're starting Allen, obviously you're starting Phillip Rivers. Is there anybody else that you're interested in starting?
You know, Tyrell Williams last week, he actually dropped a long touchdown. So they might be able to sustain 2 to 3 wide receivers every week. But the problem is Austin Eckler. So he was in the game 27% of the snaps, but he produced, you know, a top RB2 numbers. And that's crazy because Melvin Gordon still played over 70% of the snaps. was still viable, still produced for you as a fantasy guy. But if Austin Eckler is going to have that big of a role in this offense, that's going to take away from some of the other receivers that are coming up, like Mike Williams or Tyrell Williams.
I don't think Eckler's going to have that big of a role. I think this was situational. It's game script. They were down in that game early. Mahomes, you know, jumped on them. And I think if this had been a closer game, you wouldn't have seen that much Eckler. At least, you know, catching passes and stuff like that. And I expect the Chargers to be pretty good this year, so I'm not that worried about Austin Eckler carving out a huge role in the passing game.
Yeah, I was excited to see Mike Williams, though, you know, kind of come on and actually perform. A lot of people drafted him last year and basically got nothing, so it's nice to see him actually do something to start off the year.
Yeah, and I think he could be a big part of this offense. I mean, he's definitely got, I'm going to throw an old school name out there, David Boston type appeal.
Who? I think you just aged yourself. Who was that?
David Boston? You don't know who David Boston is?
Nope.
Oh, my God. You're not that young. How old are you?
26.
Ah, Jesus. Go Google David Boston. Jesus. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that he was... he was drafted in 99. Come on. You got to be better than that.
I was 7 years old. I'm sorry. I'll tell my mom.
Thank you.
You know, what the hell?
Exactly. I was watching the draft at 7 years old. Los Angeles Chargers at the Buffalo Bills. The Chargers are 7.5-point favorites, and I'm sure that's going up as we speak.
Oh, yeah. You got to take them and definitely start their defense everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is my survivor pick. So if they lose, I'm going to be really pissed. Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. You're going to have to give me my update. Aaron Rodgers okay for this game?
He's got a sprained knee, so he's still practicing on a limited basis. You know, it's Aaron Rodgers. I think if he could, you know, he didn't tear anything. So if he could perform like he did on Sunday night, then he can definitely play in this game.
Yeah, I fell for the fake Twitter account. During halftime, I'm, you know, having a cigarette and flipping through Twitter, and I search for Aaron Rodgers to see if there's any update on his injury. And someone with a picture of, I can't remember, some NFL.com writer posted that he had torn his ACL and he was done for the season.
Yeah.
And I was like, no! And I even told my wife, and my wife starts getting pissed because she had taken Aaron Rodgers in a big league that we're in. And then, of course, he comes out on the field, and we're like, what? And then so when double-checked, and I'm an idiot. So I think he's going to play. He's one of the toughest guys out there. I think he'll be fine. What are you doing with this Green Bay offense other than that? Because Devontae Adams had a good game. Randall Cobb went from being on the trade block and a potential cut guy to 9 catches, 146 yards, and a touchdown. Geronimo Allison, 5 touchdowns, 69 yards, and a touchdown. The only person who didn't do anything was Jimmy Graham. So what are you doing with this offense?
Well, Devontae Adams has a shoulder impingement, so hopefully he can get back in practice and be able to play this weekend. You definitely have to throw him out there if he's playing. Jimmy Graham, I'm not worried. I think that he'll have his good games, have his bad games. I think they'll be more good than bad, so I'm definitely trotting him out there as well. Randall Cobb, I have no interest in. This is probably his best game of the season. But in deeper leagues, Geronimo Allison is definitely someone I'm keeping an eye on just in case he performs up to like a wide receiver two in an Aaron Rodgers offense. And any wide receiver in an Aaron Rodgers offense should be viable.
Yeah, he's taking over that Jordy Nelson role. And I think he could be extremely valuable this year.
Yeah, against Minnesota. Yeah, against Minnesota, it's going to be tough sledding for a lot of their skill positions, even Aaron Rodgers, especially if that injury starts to show. But, you know, season long, I'm definitely interested in all those guys.
For sure. Let's move over to the Minnesota side of the ball. Obviously, Thielen catches 6 passes, 102 yards. Diggs gets 3 catches for 43 yards. I had predicted Thielen would be the better receiver this year over Diggs because of Kirk Cousins' affinity to throw to the slot. Is this proof, or is it too early to call?
It's too early to call, but I'm with you. I think Adam Thielen was basically forgotten about in most of the drafts that I was in, and I know we touched on this last podcast, but If he can continue to provide those numbers, especially in a PPR setting, he's going to be a monster for where you drafted him. I think one of the biggest question marks coming into week one was Dalvin Cook. And I've been one of the most non-believers in Dalvin Cook just because I was nervous about the injury that he sustained and if he would be able to come back. And, you know, he had this one run that I just kept looking at over and over again. He ended up fumbling at the end of the play, but he broke like six or seven tackles before, you know, he actually lost the ball. But he also played 80% of the snaps on offense. And that's a great sign for someone coming off of an ACL injury. So I'm really excited about seeing him again in week two.
He wasn't great in between the tackles, but man, when he gets out into space, look out.
Yeah, I mean, it was like shades of beast mode on that one run.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Any worry about Kyle Rudolph? Only one catch.
No, not really. I mean, you of all people know Kirk Cousins loves to use the tight ends in the red zone. So whenever you drafted him, you expected to get, you know, a touchdown. He's not a big yardage guy. If he gets you a touchdown, then you're happy, especially at the tight end position. So more weeks than none, he'll probably provide you with a touchdown. And if not, he'll at least get you 30, 40 yards, which might be good enough for a top 10 tight end, unless Jared Cook keeps going off.
Mm-hmm. Anything else from this game you want to touch on?
No, I'm probably still throwing Kirk Cousins out there, even though it's at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some people that are a little bit worried, but based off of what we saw last week, I think you got to throw him out there as a QB1 this week.
Well, I'm surprised by this line. Minnesota at Green Bay. Minnesota are 6-point favorites.
I think that'll change once we get closer to, you know, Aaron Rodgers turning from doubtful or questionable to definitely playing. It's kind of hard to bet the line on that if that's going to be the line. But
well, I think you got to run to your bookie right now and put a lot of money on Green Bay to cover.
Right.
I mean, if I'm getting Green Bay plus six, I mean, obviously, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, that's going to be scary. But, I mean, if he does play, that's easy money in the bank.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard-fought game. I got to take the Green Bay side and just have them cover.
Yeah. All right.
I do think Minnesota might win, though.
It wouldn't surprise me. Actually, my pick was I had the Packers winning 24-22. So if it goes either way, I'm not going to be too surprised.
Yeah.
Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans. Any updates on Marcus Mariota?
He's expecting to play. So he said he wants to do a full practice either today or tomorrow, and then he should be good to go for Sunday.
Okay. He's officially limited today in practice, but he did practice. So that's a good sign. So
yeah.
What are your thoughts on this game?
So to start off with Tennessee, they had the world's craziest game on Sunday. I mean, with the weather delays, there was a tweet that went out with your double slate for Sunday night football with Tennessee and Miami that started at noon, and of course the Green Bay game. So that was a little funny, but I'm wondering if most of the usage for Deion Lewis was due to the fact that they had so many delays and they didn't want Derrick Henry to keep warming up and sitting down and warming up and sitting down, because the usage was crazy. It was Deion Lewis 71% and Derrick Henry got the other 29%. So I think it was mostly weather related. I think I want to see, you know, how it plays out against Houston this week. Hopefully they have a normal game, especially because they're way far away from East Coast now. So, you know, if that percentage keeps up, I didn't have any shares of Henry coming into the year just because I was worried about, I didn't know, you know, if it's going to be Lewis, if it's going to be Henry, or how much they were going to sprinkle him in. I took one share of Lewis. I'm a little bit excited about the first game performance, but that's one of the main things. And then, of course, losing Delanie Walker is so huge for that offense. I think that helps your boy Corey Davis, though, moving forward.
If you listened to the podcast last week, you would have heard me say I was really high on Lewis, just because Miami was atrocious against stopping receiving backs last year. So I'm glad you paid attention.
Yeah, I don't really listen to you. I'm just kind of spitting off whatever I have to say.
I'm super bummed about Delanie Walker. I didn't have any shares this year, but for him to be out for the season so early, just that's a huge bummer. Yeah, starting Davis, starting – I don't have any worries about Henry. I think he's going to be just fine. If we saw Rex Burkhead go off against Houston, I think we can see Derrick Henry do that too. I think it's going to be he's going to get more carries inside, and I just think – Miami was a little bit tougher inside, and so they wanted to give it to Lewis.
So you're going to take Derrick Henry over Deion Lewis this week?
In a standard league, yes.
All right, let's make the bet.
All right, I can do that.
I'll take Deion Lewis in a standard league over Derrick Henry.
All right. I have our little board bet doc, so I don't miss any. If anybody wants to go out there and tell us if I'm – so far we have Galladay versus Marvin Jones. I won the Marshawn Lynch bet, betting on Marshawn Lynch. We feel like we're missing one, but can't remember. If anybody remembers, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFP or call on Twitter at CWeatherwax 13.
Yeah.
You've got way too long of a Twitter handle.
Right.
All right.
At least I use my real name.
Yes, this is true. All right, so Deion Lewis versus Henry. All right, week two. All right, let's talk about the Houston side of the ball. Lamar Miller looked like a workhorse with Donta Freeman out. I think that that is going to continue for at least the next 5 weeks. And we'll see what happens if and when Foreman returns. So in terms of the wide receivers, you're obviously starting Hopkins. Is Will Fuller going to play, and would you start him?
He's still questionable. The one guy I wanted to ask you about is Deshaun Watson. I mean, he looked really rusty last week. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was rust? Do you think it was based off the defense he was going against?
I think it was a combination of things. But this isn't like a good or an easy defense either. So I think he's still a QB1 for me this week, but he's towards the bottom of it. So, I haven't done my ranks, unfortunately, because of all my medical issues this week. But if I real quick go to our ranks that other people have done over on friendsoffantasybenefits.com, I can look and kind of see.
Oh, wow. Mike has him number one.
Wow.
And Jim has him number two.
Well, they're not worried. I don't think I would do that.
Yeah, that's a little steep for me. I think he'll probably be in my top 10. I haven't done my rankings either, but yeah, I can't put him that high.
Let me give you some would-you-rathers. Would you rather start Deshaun Watson or Kirk Cousins?
Give me Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cousins too. Would you rather start Watson or Alex Smith?
Oh, give me Watson.
I'm going to take Watson as well. Would you rather start Watson or Patrick Mahomes?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know what? I think Mahomes is going to struggle this week at Pittsburgh. Give me Watson.
I think I'm taking Watson too. These are all guys that Jim and Mike both have ranked above or ranked pretty highly, but they're, you know, are guys that went later in drafts. Garoppolo or Watson?
Give me Watson. I got to see if Garoppolo can come back from, you know, that atrocious performance last week.
I think he's probably 6 or 7 for me. Definitely not 1 or 2. I'm going to have to go talk to Mike and Jim and figure out what their thinking were behind that.
I'll start the write-ups for you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans. This line has been added since I last checked. So Houston is a 2-point favorite. Who you got?
Give me Houston. I think they'll be able to pull this one out in Tennessee.
Give me, Houston, and I think they'll cover. So, all right, let's go ahead and move on. Talk about Cleveland, the undefeated Cleveland Browns at the winless New Orleans Saints. What are your thoughts on this game?
I mean, that just doesn't sound right. Do we need to rewind that? Do we need to fact check that? Because that didn't sound right at all.
Nope. I was watching. That was an interesting because I didn't take Pittsburgh in Survivor just because of the weather-related issues, and there was talk that the game could be postponed. And so I was like, I'm just going to fade this whole game. And I was glad I did because in the Survivor pools I'm in, a tie is as good as a loss.
Well, at least you didn't pick New Orleans to win. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, you did.
Thanks. And Detroit. Yeah, that worked out well. So, I still got two alive. That's okay. But what are your thoughts on this game?
All right. So New Orleans. I mean, I knew Kamara was good, and I knew, you know, coming into this year without Mark Ingram for the first four games was going to be great. But, God, is that really what we're going to see? I mean, that was great. Mm-hmm. He performed just like, you know, the top five pick that everyone took him in the draft. So there's definitely no concerns going into this game about him. Michael Thomas has an illness. He was held out of practice yesterday. Hopefully he comes back and is ready to play on Sunday. And then you got to fire up. I mean, all the Saints. You got to fire up Kamara, Thomas, Breeze. Hopefully, Cam Meredith sees the field. He was a healthy scratch.
What was up with that? Like, I saw a bunch of people, and I kind of trolled a couple of them, being like, "You can't drop Cam Meredith." I was like, "You shouldn't have drafted Cam Meredith."
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that. I think they're just giving him a little bit more time, not putting the pressure on him to perform right away. And they still scored without him. So, I mean, it's not like they needed him. They just needed a little help on defense. So that's probably the one. Yeah, that's the one thing I'm looking out for the most with the Saints this year, because a lot of people coming in the year seeing that they played the Browns and the Bucks the first 2 weeks, I mean, they penciled them in as their starting defense. And for them to show up like they did, or not show up like they did in week one, I want to see how they bounce back in week two against Cleveland.
I was definitely discouraged about Cam Meredith. A little discouraged, too, that Tre'Quan Smith with Meredith out didn't get a catch either. So
yeah, I know he's one of your boys.
He is. I still think he's a stash, and this would be a common theme with rookie wide receivers. Still think he's worth stashing, but definitely not a guy you can put in your lineup. Carlos Hyde is obviously the guy in Cleveland. It's 22 carries versus the Steelers. 67 yards and a touchdown, so not necessarily great yards per average guy, but they fed the dude. Chubb only gets 3 carries, Duke Johnson gets 5, but Hyde leads the way with 22. Is this going to change at some point, or do you think as long as Hyde is healthy, he's the man?
As long as he's healthy, he should get the bulk of the carries. I do think that seeing the percentages of 53% for Hyde and 46% for Duke Johnson is a little scary. They're going to put Johnson in there on mainly passing down back, so I understand it. But if Carlos Hyde can continue to get 22 carries on half the snaps, I mean, I'll take it any day, especially for my RB2 or flex position. So that was pretty exciting. And Nick Chubb had a very minimal role in the game itself. So that was probably one of the things that a lot of people were worried about drafting Hyde, was his presence. But coming off of week one, you know, it was a close game, and you know, maybe the Browns aren't in too many of those, but if it's a close game and they have a good matchup, I think
they're gonna be pretty decent. They're undefeated.
I keep forgetting.
I think you're still stashing Chubb though, because I think it's just a matter of time before Hyde has issues. He's had reoccurring injury issues throughout his career, so it wouldn't surprise me to see something pop up. So you're holding on to Chubb, I think, for right now. I think you can let go of Antonio Callaway. I saw some people drop David Njoku, and that's a mistake. The numbers weren't impressive, but he was the second most targeted receiver, and I think he's going to be a big part of this offense. So I'm a big Njoku fan.
Yeah, I do think this offense is going to flow through Jarvis Landry, though. So if you drafted him in any of your leagues, I think you have to trot him out there as your wide receiver two moving forward, especially in a PPR. I mean, some of the catches he made.
I've got him as a wide receiver one this week.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, most weeks he's probably going to be in the two range, but yeah, I mean, he looked unbelievable, in the first game.
Josh Gordon only caught one pass, but it was a pretty impressive one.
It was a very impressive one. He's going to stay on my bench for a couple weeks until he actually gets the snaps and can sustain, maybe get a couple catches instead of that one. But it was impressive. I'm glad that he actually saw the field, though, especially on the first play. I love that.
Mm-hmm. All yeah, right. We have the Cleveland Browns at the New Orleans Saints. Saints are 9-point favorites in this game. Who you got?
Wow, that's a big line. Give me Cleveland. I think they cover.
But you think the Saints
I think the
win.
Saints, yeah, Saints win, Cleveland covers.
I think I am, oh man, I picked Saints win 33-24. That means it's 9 points. give me the Saints and Cleveland to cover. So I think I'm with you on that.
There you go.
Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. What the hell, Jets? Where did this come from?
Right.
For as bad as Allen looked for Buffalo when he came in as a rookie quarterback, Sam Darnold had the pick six on his first throw of the game, first throw in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
But after that, looked really, really good versus a Lions defense that isn't great, but isn't as atrocious as we saw.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of talk in camp about, Darnold coming out and making mistakes, but never making the same mistake twice. So you know, that would definitely showed on Monday night, and he looked very impressive. But the one thing that I was looking for was the distribution for running backs. And so it looks like Bilal Powell and Isaiah Correll split time evenly, 40%, both on the field for 40% of the snaps. So I don't want any part of that if that's how it's going to be. I don't think that this offense can sustain, you know, two running backs that are, you know, legitimate starters.
How often are they going to be up where they're going to be able to run it the way they did?
Right, exactly. So as far as the Jets offense, I mean, it's kind of blah. Robbie Anderson got one catch in the game. Quincy Enunwa was the big waiver wire add just because he had 10 targets. I don't think he's someone that you can rely on starting every week. But, you know, I'm definitely interested to see how Darnold, you know, starts in their second game, especially at home in New York, where the fans are kind of, you know, a little antsy, especially after their first week performance. So
I want to point out, too, that Correll, while he had over 100 yards rushing, that I think 68 of them came in one play at the end of the game. So, and one of his touchdowns. So, you know, the yards per carry looking really good right there. If you kind of, you can't necessarily take that out, I know, but at the same time, I'm not going to give him credit for a 10 yards plus per carry average.
Right, definitely.
So he did not look necessarily that good. Just at that point, Detroit had given up. All right, what about the Miami side of the ball? Were you at least somewhat intrigued by how Tannehill played? Because I, you know, in spite of all the weather issues, he had a decent game.
Yeah, he had a decent game. I think that Kenny Stills is definitely their wide receiver one there. I don't think there's any question about that. I think the split between Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake was a little bit, you know, overzealous in the preseason, thinking that, you know, Gore would just kind of cut into his time because Drake had most of the snaps there in Miami. So especially with the rain delay, I mean, you don't want to trot out a 40-year-old Frank Gore after having to sit down for a couple hours. But I don't think Tannehill's still on my radar for QB2 even, especially not with how this Jets defense looked. But as far as the wide receivers, I'm definitely interested in Stills. I think that's about it as far as this offense goes. Definitely Drake and him.
Jakeem Grant is an interesting guy because the amount of targets he got. I'm not an Amendola guy normally, and I think he doesn't have a ton of value. But until Devontae Parker's back, Jakeem Grant is an interesting guy in deeper formats.
Yeah, he's a speedster, but they just have a lot of guys at the wide receiver position. You said Devontae Parker, they have Albert Wilson, they have Amendola, like you said, as well. So it just feels like they're going to be able to shuffle in a lot of guys.
They're going to be down a lot, and they're going to have to throw.
So yeah.
I've seen Albert Wilson play. Grant is, you know, a newer commodity, so I'm just going to take the chance that, you know, maybe he can develop into something. Albert Wilson is out there.
Yeah, but I do think Grant gets buried as soon as Parker comes back, as long as Parker stays on the field.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then, you know, all the Parker truthers can come out and talk, which has never worked that well for them. Right. Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. The Jets, the J-E-T-S, Jets, are 3-point favorites. Who you got?
Give me Miami. I just want the Jets to fall off their high horse.
I'm going to take the Jets. I feel very unsure about this. But I'm going to take the Jets to win at home and cover. Kansas City Chiefs at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mahomes, that Mahomes guy looked pretty good.
Yeah, so did the guy I told no one to draft. This guy named Tyreek Hill. I don't know if you saw him on Sunday. Yeah,
probably my most owned player.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have lots of Tyreek Hill shares.
It's my first year week doing was it. Good. Yeah, your first week was good, but that's probably going to be it for the rest of the season. Mm. No, he was electric. I mean, both him and Mahomes were electric. The main thing that I got out of this game was what the hell with Kareem Hunt, man?
I think they didn't want to try to run up the middle with him. And so this was a game script type thing. I think he'll be fine. This is a team that's going to want to take pressure off of Mahomes, and the way to do that is to run the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, getting less than 5 points in a week is a little hard, especially with how good Mahomes looked. But, you know, Tyreek Hill what can you say? I mean, every time he touches the ball, it's electric. What were your thoughts about Travis Kelce only getting that one catch? I mean, I did say
he's
coming
like
in the game.
Six targets.
I did say coming in the
yes,
game he was
did.
Probably going to struggle. So,
you probably should have made a board bet.
I probably should have. Probably should have. Hindsight.
Yes, hindsight being 2020. it's unfortunate, but, I mean, there were a lot of disappointing tight ends this week. So, I mean, he just kind of joins the roving list of the Jimmy Grahams and such. So, I think he'll be fine. He got six targets. I think that was, like, second on the team in targets to pass catchers. So, I'm not worried at all. All those Sammy Watkins truthers can keep doing that. It's not going to. It's not going to work out well, especially this week against a Pittsburgh secondary that should play a lot better than they did against Cleveland. So I think this is a big Kareem Hunt week. I think it could be a pretty good Travis Kelce week as well. So I think both those guys will bounce back.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Hunt and Kelce thing. I think they're both going to bounce back this week, but I'm probably going to stray away from Mahomes in DFS and also in my season long, just because I think he's going to come back down to earth this week.
Too.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
So, moving over to the Pittsburgh side of the ball, is Le'Veon Bell back yet?
Nope, not back yet.
All right, what do you think about Connor?
I was impressed. Besides the haircut, I was very, very impressed. I actually stayed away from him in most of my DFS lineups, which was really bad for me. I ended up losing in most of them because of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, seeing what he could do, it was very impressive.
Sometimes chalk is chalk for a reason, because it's just a damn good play.
Yeah. But I do think that this is a week where Big Ben bounces back. I think Kansas City's secondary is atrocious. They lost both corners this offseason. Eric Berry still isn't back. Their other starting safety, Sorensen, isn't back yet as well. So I think Big Ben, AB, Juju, I think they're going to tear it up this week.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't think I mean, obviously, you're still stashing James Washington. I don't think you can play him yet. But pretty much everybody else on this offense, there are must starts at this point.
Yeah, like you said, chalk is chalk, and Big Ben's at home. So that's as chalk as it gets.
There you go. All right. Kansas City Chiefs at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 5-point favorites. Who you got?
Steelers and the points.
Yep, Steelers and they'll cover. Philadelphia Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, I usually start with the away team, but I'm just jumping straight to Fitzmagic. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, what the hell indeed. I mean, I think he put in a claim to make it the Tampa Bay Fitzmagics.
It should be. Like, you know, like, he was one of the most picked up players this week in fantasy.
And for a mistake,
know, like,
by
he
a mistake,
will
yeah.
probably not throw for a total of 417 yards or four touchdowns rest of the way combined.
Right. Right. And I think one of the biggest takeaways from that game was, well, what I went in looking for was the split between the carries and the running backs. And the fact that they inactivated a healthy scratch for Ronald Jones going into that game, mm-hmm. I said it in our chat. I said, fire up Peyton Barber. And what do you know? Fitzmagic throws for 500 yards and four touchdowns and runs one in.
Well, I mean, at least Barber's still 69 yards, 19 carries. Like, it wasn't awful, but he was the only running back to receive more than two carries. So, and he's obviously the guy. The question becomes, how long is he the guy for?
Yeah, I think he'll stay the guy most of the season. And I drafted him in a lot of my leagues, especially in auction leagues where he was going super cheap at the beginning of the offseason. So I think this is a big Barber game. I know it's against Philly, so it's a little bit crazy, yeah. But I just can't see Fitzmagic doing what he did. But I do see, you know, Barber getting a healthy workload here and possibly getting you a touchdown as well.
Is he a top 20 running back?
Top 24, yeah.
Oh, I'll have to do my ranks, but I'm thinking about it, but I wish I'd done my ranks already so I could kind of take a quicker look, but I'm gonna pass on this one. I'm gonna hold my lead for right now.
Losers cop out. I get it. What do you think about the wide receiver two position here? Are you sold on Jackson, or did you like what you saw from Godwin?
I liked what I saw from both of them, and I think this is a team that's gonna have to throw a lot. So it was really interesting to me that they were both on the field quite a bit. He didn't have the target share that Godwin didn't have the target share that you know, Evans and Jackson did, but when he caught the ball, it was pretty impressive. So obviously Jackson is one of those guys that I think a game like this cements him into his playing time. But he tends to pull hammies. He tends to get nicked up throughout the season. I think Godwin is going to be just fine down the stretch.
Just out of the blue, how much do you think DeSean Jackson played on Sunday?
30%.
30% exactly. I mean, he was the fourth wide receiver, the fourth highest on the field, and he had that game that he had. So Adam Humphrey saw almost the same amount as Godwin. So for me, I'm with Godwin. I'm on the side of Godwin. I'm stashing him in all my deeper leagues, and possibly he might be a flex option for me moving forward. I liked what I saw. He's a big guy, kind of like Evans. He's fast, and a few of the catches that he made were crazy. So I think that his success is more sustainable than DeSean Jackson moving forward.
You may have hated on Tyreek Hill before the start of the season, but I hated on Mike Evans. Am I going to look foolish now?
Probably not. I did like what I saw. You know, I was probably straying away from him a little bit. I do have one share just because, you know, the way I construct my rosters is I want a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I don't miss out on anything, except for I took no Tyreek Hill. So, you know, there's that. But, you know, he's a guy that consensus last year, first round talent, and he went in the first round or the back end of it, or the beginning of the second round in most of the drafts that I did. So coming into this year, whenever he was going so cheap, I just couldn't pass it up. But I do think that he'll probably he probably won't have another game like this for a while. He's been streaky in his career, but I think he'll be a little bit more consistent than he was last year.
This feels like the first time in about a year and a half that I saw Mike Evans play with fire. Like, he actually wanted to be on the field and he looked like a man who was trying to prove something. Didn't have trouble getting off the line, which plagued him last year. Didn't drop any passes, which plagued him last year. This looked like a different Mike Evans. Now, I'm still going to stand by the fact that I think he'll have been an overrated draft commodity, because I'm not going to back away away from that after week one. But if he plays like this, it's going to be a long season for me.
How much do you attribute that to Fitzpatrick instead of Winston?
Zero.
Really?
Because, I mean, he played with Fitzpatrick last year and got thoroughly disgusted with the play. I think it's nice to be on a winning team. I think if they get blown out this week against Philadelphia, maybe a little bit of those bugaboos come back.
Yeah, that's possible as well.
So, what did you think about the Eagles?
It was a lot of sloppy play.
It was ugly.
Really. Thursday yeah, night. It was ugly, and like you said, Thursday night. But I actually did a DFS lineup already, and my starting quarterback is Nick Foles. I love the price on him, yep. And we saw what the Tampa Bay defense did against Drew Brees, and I know it's Drew Brees, not Nick Foles, but they could not stop him. They couldn't stop Kamara, and I know Philadelphia has a nice rotation in their running backs. They have a few good wide receivers as well, and of course Zach Ertz. So I'm actually firing up Nick Foles. He might be a QB1 for me this week.
That's insane to me. I'll do a board bet. Nick Foles is not a top 15 quarterback.
All right. Got it. All right. Another win for me. I'm making my way back up.
All right.
So what do you expect from the running back share? Do you think Ajayi gets the most carries again? Or
I do. I think they're going to – if you look at his work in the playoffs, if you look at his work in week one, yes, he definitely started slow out the gate. But when the game was on the line, when they needed to run that ball, that's who they gave it to. And I think that is going to be the case. I like Corey Clement, dude. And I'll be honest. You know who I was most impressed by? Was Darren Sproles.
Mm-hmm.
I know he only got 9 touches, I believe, and didn't really do much of anything necessarily with him. But man, you go back and watch that film, and you watch him shake off tackles. That dude cannot be bigger than like 5'6", 120 pounds, soaking wet, and he was shaking off linebackers and D tackles and defensive ends to get 2 or 3 yards. Like, dude is like coming off of a serious injury, like he is. Being as old as he is, dude has got heart, and I was super impressed by him.
Yeah, he played the same amount of snaps as Jay Ajayi last week, and it was very impressive to see him coming back, like you said, from the injury, and he looks like the same old Darren Sproles. I think that that's something that they play into this week just because of watching the film against Kamara and seeing how bad they were at covering him. I'm not saying Sproles is Kamara, but a pass receiving back out of the backfield like Sproles, I think he succeeds this week. And who'd have thought, you know, coming into week two that we'd spend the most time talking about Tampa Bay and Philadelphia?
It's unfortunate, but true. Yeah, I think Ajayi is going to be fine. I don't think you can start Sproles, but he's definitely like a GPP type lineup play that I'm willing to take a gamble on because he's going to be super cheap. And like you said, like if they decide to give him a Kamara type role, he could be really interesting. And he looked explosive and strong.
Yeah, tournament play for me for sure.
Yeah. All right, Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Eagles are 3.5-point favorites.
Eagles will cover for sure.
Yeah, Eagles are going to cover that game. So, the Indianapolis Colts against the undefeated Washington Redskins.
I mean, they did play against one of the worst teams in the NFL. You do realize
and
that, right?
And they get to play in week two against another one of the worst teams in the NFL. So, like, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not drawing a lot of conclusions from their week one victory against the Cardinals. But sometimes when you were a bottom barrel team the year before, you get to play a lot of bottom barrel teams. And apparently that is the case for the Redskins.
Yeah. So Adrian Peterson, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
He looked about as good as he has in about three or four seasons. And I think it was largely to do with, one, I think he's in decent shape right now, but two, the Washington offensive line, it can't be understated how injured they got last year. I mean, at one point, they were down to fourth and fifth string offensive linemen. They did not finish the season with a single of the week one starters healthy. And so to get all those guys back healthy, they have a top 10 offensive line and maybe even better than that. And Adrian Peterson, he's not the player that he was, but he can still run through a hole. And that's what he did. 26 carries, 96 yards, a touchdown. For me, the interesting part is Chris Thompson is going to be a massive part of this offense.
Oh, yeah. Just like last year, you know, whenever he came on and scored a couple touchdowns in one game and, you know, he sustained that up until his injury. And I was actually fading him coming into the season just because that injury that he suffered was serious. And I did not think he would be making it back for week one. So to see him back on the field and making the same plays he was last year, that's a great sign for, you know, for Chris Thompson owners.
Who is the running back we were talking about you said was going to be a top 24 running back?
Oh, probably a lot of them.
Oh, we were just talking about him a second ago.
Oh, Barber.
Want to do Barber versus AP or Barber versus Chris Thompson?
I'll do AP.
All right, I'll do Barber versus AP this week. Cause,
all right, let's do it.
Crazy enough, I think AP is a RB1 this week.
Yeah, you're too crazy.
Why? I mean, look at that offensive line and look how bad that defensive front is for Indianapolis.
Yeah, Mixon didn't crack it, though. And if Mixon can't crack it, I don't know if Peterson can.
Mixon, what, 95 yards and a touchdown? I mean, that's got to be pretty close.
Yeah, it was pretty close, but I mean, that's Mixon compared to Peterson, and I'll take Mixon over that. But Jordan Reed, he made it out of week one. I don't think he's injured.
So far, so good. And he's going to be a big part of this offense if he can stay healthy. I think he's a tight end one as long as he's healthy. Super disappointed by the rest of the wide receivers, and I don't know if it's the Redskins jumped out to an early lead and never really, you know, the game after that was never really in contest, so it could be that. But Crowder gets 3 catches, Doxson gets 1 catch, Richardson gets 4. This looks like a spread around offense, and if it's going to continue to be that way, and I think we'll learn more after this week, I don't know that any of them are wide receiver threes.
Yeah, this reminds me of the Chiefs offense pre-Tyreek Hill, where it was just kind of boring and Alex Smith would just kind of throw to Kelsey no matter what. I think Reed is definitely the main target there, and then it goes Thompson. I'm a big believer in Richardson, but I think it's going to be Crowder than Richardson moving forward.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'll be interested to see what happens if they get into a shootout with Indianapolis or if it's just a close game in general, because I think we'll learn more, obviously, in that kind of scenario. I tend to believe, it's Crowder than Doxson than Richardson, but Doxon and Richardson could be flipped pretty easily, in my opinion. All right, let's talk about Indianapolis. What did you think of Andrew Luck's first game back?
I liked it. I do think there's a little bit of rust that he's got to shake off. Hopefully he did that last week and he comes out and destroys the Redskins this week. But the running back rotation was a little bit, you know, something that I was looking at just because of the Marlon Mack injury. We know about Nyheim Hines being their top draft pick. And then they also drafted the kid Jordan Wilkins, who played the most snaps, looked physical and also shifty. So it was a little bit of a nice sight to see for them to actually have some talent at the running back position. But Nyheim Hines, you know, he had a lot of targets in the passing game, and he was on the field for almost the same amount of time as Wilkins. So it'll be curious to see how they split up the, you know, the carries and the snap percentage between them two. But, you know, having more weapons around Andrew Luck can only help him moving forward.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I really like Wilkins. But I think that this may be kind of a little bit of a clusterfuck once Max comes back. And it looks like that he was limited in practice today, so there's a chance that he will be back. I'm probably staying away from this whole situation.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I think Hines has probably carved out a role, especially as like a third down back.
Yeah.
However, Mac does have a receiving ability. I'm a big Mac believer, probably too much, but that, you know, that happens.
And all three of these guys have fumbling issues.
Yeah, so whichever one can fumble the least might make it on there the most. What about the tight end position? I mean, both of the tight ends showed up on Sunday. What are you doing with that?
Doyle's the guy. I think, I mean, and we've seen the Colts with Luck have two viable tight ends. We saw Allen and Doyle as two guys who were able to, you know, be productive on the field at the same time. I think Doyle is the number one, and in Ebron moves into tight end two territory. I think Doyle, I mean, Doyle caught seven passes. I know that Ebron got the touchdown, but Doyle's still the top target on the team in terms of the tight ends and really in general, I think. And he's going to be a red zone threat. So Ebron has hands of stone half the time, and one game is not going to change my mind on Eric Ebron.
Yeah, I'm with you on Doyle being the most, you know, the most productive tight end out of this offense. He did have like three or four catches on one drive towards the end of the game, so that kind of skewed his overall numbers because I was looking at his stats and I was like, oh, that's bad. And then I come back after the game's over. I was like, oh, okay, he was actually decent for tight end. But yeah, I'm leaning towards Doyle. I do like T.Y. Hilton coming up and showing out last game. And then one guy I'm keeping an eye on, especially in DFS, the revenge game for Ryan Grant. I think, yes, he's going to come back and he's going to kill.
Always a guy I liked and just never got a fair shake in Washington because, honestly, they had too much talent, you know, at the wide receiver's position. Eight catches for 95 yards versus the Bengals. That's for 59 yards versus the Bengals. He's not a big player. He isn't the fastest player, but he has good hands and he runs really good routes.
Yep, and that's what Andrew Luck needs. So I think he'll have a big game, and he's definitely going to be cheap enough on DFS for sure.
Yeah, he'll be in a DFS line of mine, and I grabbed him off the waiver wire in a couple leagues as well.
Yeah.
All right, Indianapolis Colts at the Washington Redskins. The Redskins, the undefeated Washington Redskins, are 6-point favorites. Who you got?
Ooh, I think Indy's going to cover, but Washington wins.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what I have too. I said 27-24. All right, Arizona Cardinals at the Rams. We're going to need to start moving a little bit quicker as we get into these afternoon and evening games. So, other than David Johnson, is there anything startable in Arizona? I mean, I guess Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that's about it for me. I did like David Johnson. He had he had the workload. He had a touchdown. It was a little underwhelming, but he was on the field, and you know, it was nice to see him come out of week one still healthy. And you know, Larry Fitzgerald might have a little bit of a tougher year than we thought if this offense looked as bad as it does.
He's going to get plenty of opportunities because he had 10 targets. Christian Kirk, I think, only had two targets, caught one ball, and like, this whole offense is just David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. It's going to be ugly, like you said earlier in the podcast, for Arizona this year.
Yeah, and, you know, a target from Sam Bradford should count as like a half target because it's usually not going to be online.
That's pretty funny. the Rams were very impressive against your Oakland Raiders. What did you think?
You know, I like you said, I got to see him firsthand. And if you're talking chalk, Rams defense. I mean, I'm paying up for them in DFS for sure. They're going to be my starting defense on most of my DFS lineups this week. I think this is a big Todd Gurley game. Todd Gurley didn't really have the workload that I was expecting against the Raiders. He had success, but they just weren't giving him the ball until the second half. But the wide receivers, I mean, they ran so many three wide receiver sets. Their wide receivers, all three of them, Kupp, Cooks, and Woods, 97% of the snaps each. So that's alarming to me. I'm starting Jared Goff. He's going to be a fringe QB1 for me this week. I think you got to roll out Cooks as the wide receiver one in this offense. He got so many targets, lots of pass interferences, so it doesn't look like on the stat sheet, it doesn't look like he had a good game, but he drew a lot of pass interferences and got him first downs from that. So the second guy I'm probably looking at is going to be Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think I don't think I disagree one bit. The only thing I'll add is I really had hoped that either Tyler Higbee or Gerald Everett would separate from each other. Neither had a reception. So yeah. I guess screw it, neither are worth anything.
Yeah, I don't think you can trust a tight end in this offense, unfortunately.
All right, Arizona at the Los Angeles Rams. Who you got? Oh, the Rams.
Doesn't matter.
The Rams
doesn't matter
are
the
12 and a half point favorites.
Yeah, if you make it 21 point favorites, I'll still take the Rams.
Actually, I predicted Rams win 38-10. Okay, there you go. All right, Detroit Lions at the San Francisco 49ers. What do you got for this game?
Detroit, I saw Stafford dropped in one of my leagues. He is going to bounce back big time this week. I think he tears up the 49ers. You have to start Galladay moving forward because of his performance. Marvin Jones and Golden Tate are going to have bounce back performances as well. The running backs, I watched a little bit of, you know, the rotation there. So Theo Riddick got the most work, obviously, because they were down most of the game. But Kerryon Johnson looked very explosive and very impressive. I was very impressed with what I saw. I have no shares of him. I was able to pick him up off a wire in one of my leagues. I'm very excited about that. But I think moving forward for the rest of the year, he might be the top option in Detroit. It might take him a couple more weeks to get going. But he might be able to, you know, reverse the curse of 100-yard backs in Detroit moving forward.
What is LeGarrette Blount's I know he hurt his knee. He missed a lot of the game because of it. I haven't seen any updates necessarily on how he's doing. But if he's out, yeah, I think Kerryon Johnson becomes a super interesting RB2 this week.
Yeah, I know he got hurt in the game, but he only played 19% of the snaps, mostly because they were down the whole time. But yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do for the running backs. I'm not starting any of them yet, but I'm keeping Johnson on my bench. I'm starting the whole passing game against this 49ers front, though, this week.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to start Johnson. Like I said, if Blount is out, so we'll see how that works out. I like Kerryon Johnson a lot. I've got a number of shares of him. I was big on him in the preseason. I'm willing to take a gamble if he's the lead dog. Yeah, you were ready to give up on your Galladay versus Marvin Jones bet?
Nope.
All right.
No conceding here.
All right, what about the San Francisco 49ers? Both Alfred Morris and Matt Breida looked like garbage.
Yes, yes they did, and they played.
Marquise Goodwin left injured. There wasn't a whole lot of good stuff that happened on the Niners side, except for I was really impressed by Dante Pettis.
Yep, that's exactly where I was going. So Goodwin's still sitting out of practice. He has a quad injury. Hopefully he can get a limited work in on Friday and possibly be questionable for the game. I'm really nervous about Jimmy G this week. I think Detroit is mad. I think that Matt Patricia is mad because of their Monday night performance, and I think they're going to take it out on the 49ers this week. Mm-hmm. And the running backs, Morris got the most work. It wasn't, you know, sexy by any means, but I'm probably staying away from this situation. This is probably not the week to start any 49ers besides the guy that you hate the most on this offense, and that's George Kittle.
Probably, yep. Jimmy G seems to really like George Kittle, so I'm probably gonna look bad on that one. I even said in my article this week, I think he's a tight end one for sure this yeah. week with the amount of volume he's getting. So he's obviously the favorite target, especially with Goodwin out. Pettis is a guy to grab and stash. You know, I'm not necessarily starting him right now, But he's obviously got speed. That's the reason the Niners drafted him. But I didn't realize this watching his college tape and then watching him a little bit in preseason. He runs really good routes.
Yeah, and if he takes over the production for Goodwin, I mean, he might even make it into your lineup most weeks. I think he has the talent to do that. Once Goodwin comes back, unless Garcon kind of takes a backseat to him, I see it a little bit harder for him to get the playing time because they don't run too many three wide receiver sets, but they'll probably try and find him some targets in that offense, and I'm very excited about him stashing for sure.
Yep. Lions at the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are 6-point favorites in this game.
No, give me Detroit. I think they blow this one.
Yeah. All right, your Oakland Raiders, the winless Oakland Raiders at the Denver Broncos. Why don't you go ahead and bitch for a little bit?
You know what? I think I'm going to save it. I really think that we should have – I'll do one. I think we should have paid Mac. Our pass rush was atrocious. We went out inside two journeymen this week to kind of maybe produce a pass rush. Our defense looked great the first half, but we did nothing in the second half, and that's why L.A. kind of took off from there. I'm nervous about Derek Carr. I'm nervous about Amari Cooper a little bit, but I'm still trotting both of them out there. Derek Carr more in a QB2 type league. I think signing Martavis Bryant probably helps him a little bit until he gets suspended, but it was pretty rough to watch, especially the second half.
Yeah, it was a pretty ugly game, buddy, and I feel for you. And you guys definitely should. Like, I don't understand, and this is a conversation I've had with a number of Raiders fans who live out here since I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. I don't understand how you as a rebuilding team can let a guy of his age and his caliber just go. Like, yeah. And I know they got picks, but, like, that's pretty much Gruden saying that he can get two of those guys. He can identify talent, so he can draft two of those guys for what they got. And
No.
Those guys don't grow on trees.
Yeah, they definitely don't. I think that set us back a few years. We had the possibility of competing this year, and I think as soon as we traded them away, we kind of conceded this year. And John Gruden doesn't care. He got 10 years to figure it out. So
until they fire him after two and they just pay out the contract.
Oh, God.
Let's see. Jared Cook will not be getting 12 targets in the passing game every week, but I think he's going to be a big focal part, a point of this offense.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. I think the one way to attack this Denver defense is going to be in the middle. I think he's going to see a good share of targets and a good share of yards, possibly a touchdown this week. I'm really interested to see how Cooper looks this week. I want to see, you know, even John Gruden said he needs to get him more involved. They saw him open, but for some reason they didn't go to him. So hopefully they can figure that out. It's going to be a little bit tougher with, you know, the pass rush that Denver has and Chris Harris, who they still have over there as well, who's probably going to shadow him. So one guy that I'm actually looking for in DFS and also, you know, some of the other slates that I have is Jordy Nelson. I think that he might be a big guy to play this week because I think Denver's going to focus more on the running game and more on Cooper, and they might forget about Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to how Derek Carr plays. I mean, he really looked just at the running backs, and I'm sure it was part of his game plan, but like he did not look downfield virtually at all the entire game, and the Raiders aren't going to win games like that because they're going to be down. They're going to have to push the action, and I don't know if this is tentativeness on his part because of injuries or if this was completely game planned, but if Carr can't open up this offense, it's going to be a long season in Oakland.
Yeah, it's going to be a little difficult. And, you know, Derek Carr actually had a media conference today, and he said he wasn't timid. He's not thinking about past injuries. So, I mean, of course he's going to say that, but, you know, showing it on the field is another thing, I mean, especially whenever you have Von Miller staring you down. So.
All right, speaking of the Denver side, Case Keenum, good, bad, or I don't really know who Case Keenum is.
I don't really know. I think he's a QB2 this week. I do like Oakland's defense this week a little bit, but I do think Case Keenum is viable enough to start in the 2QB league. Emmanuel Sanders is definitely their wide receiver one. I think there's no doubt about that moving forward. And then what about the running situation, the running back situation? What do you think about what happened last week? Do you think it'll happen again?
If you're a Royce Freeman owner, you've got to be kind of shaking in your boots a little bit because Lindsey got the same amount of carries. They produce the same amount, but Lindsey can also catch the ball. and Freeman's not necessarily known for his catch, his pass catching abilities.
Yeah,
I think the share of the carries changes, and I think Freeman gets more carries moving forward. But I think this is a thunder and lightning situation on a offense that isn't necessarily super dynamic.
Yeah, I think it more or less solidifies the backup role. Devontae Booker is no longer a factor. Lindsey was a guy that they, I think they picked him up as an undrafted guy, but he showed out in training camp and in preseason, so that's why he earned his spot. And obviously he has some talent, so I think the people that spent, you know, 50 to 60% of their fab on Lindsey are probably shaken after a couple weeks. But I do think Freeman is probably the most talented one on this roster. I think he gets the more carries moving forward. And if you can buy low on him for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, Oakland Raiders at the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are 5.5-point favorites.
Raiders, they're going to win.
No way.
Yep, they're going to win.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'll take Broncos into cover. Would you like to make a board bet on that? I will give you 5.5 points.
All right, I'll take them.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on and talk about the Patriots at the Jacksonville Jaguars. What's your takeaways here?
I'm excited about this game. This is probably one of the ones that I'm going to circle on the schedule for Sunday. So I'm excited to watch it, but not as a fantasy game. You know what I mean? I mean, Gronk is probably going to be Gronk. He's probably going to get at least, you know, 5 to 10 targets produced. He'll be a tight end one no matter what. But after that, I mean, Chris Hogan, what we saw last week was bad. And then you have to go up against Jacksonville. I mean, that's not a good bounce back game for anybody. So I don't think you can start Hogan this week. Rex Burkhead's still in the concussion protocol. There is some reports out there that they might rush Sony Michel back if Burkhead can't get on the field this week. But if Burkhead plays, you probably have to play him just because of the upside, about his role. But if Burkhead's out and Michel plays, I don't think I want anybody else but Gronk in this offense, not even Brady.
Wow, really?
Especially not in DFS. I mean, season long, you got to start him, but I think there's better options, cheaper options out there that could produce a little bit better than Brady this week.
Yeah, I don't think in DFS I want to throw him out there, though. I mean, he's not expensive because of the matchup. Not intrigued by Philip Dorsett at all. Caught 7 passes, 66 yards, and a touchdown.
I picked him up in a deep bench league, deep dynasty as well. I mean, he is a first-round talent. He looked decent. He has a year in the system under his belt, so there is that for him. Other than that, I mean, I guess, kind of, not really, especially not against Jacksonville, maybe moving forward.
All right, moving on over to the Jacksonville side of the ball. What are you doing with this wide receiver core?
My guy is D.D. Westbrook. I do like Keelan Cole, but I think D.D. Westbrook might have the best season out of the wide receivers this week, this year, actually.
I think you're insane.
I know. That's why I said it. Mostly. Let's do another season-long one. How about that?
Deal.
Westbrook versus Cole?
Yep.
All right. Another one in the win book for me. So, but for this week, I mean, the last time they played, it was more of a Leonard Fournette-type game. I think I saw a report that they held him out for precautionary reasons, and they probably did because they know they have New England on the schedule this week. So if he comes back to practice, has limited – he did miss practice today, so that's a little bit scary. But if he has a limited practice on Friday, then I'm definitely firing him up, you know, especially in season long. I don't know about DFS. It's probably a little bit too risky in DFS. But there's a lot of people that spend a lot of money on TJ Yeldon, too.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is one of them. He goes, hey, you know, I got a bunch of questions for you. I was like, you know, I have a podcast and website, right? You get all this stuff. He goes, yeah, but I don't want to listen to that. I'm like, well, okay, I get it.
Who would? Who would?
Really? I mean, Fournette, I think he'll be fine. And you know, even if he misses a game, it's not gonna be a big deal. But I would not have gone and spent a bunch of money on TJ Yeldon. I know he added some muscle and he slimmed down a little bit and stuff like that this offseason, but I learned my lesson when Yeldon was a starter.
Oh, yeah. Now, say you did spend a lot of money on him and Fournette misses this game. Are you firing him up?
I think you have to, don't you? I mean, that's the whole reason you spent a bunch of money on him.
Yeah, I think you'll be disappointed if you do. I think you're expecting what he did last week, and I don't think he'll be able to do that against New England.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's see. New England Patriots at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Patriots are 2.5-point favorites.
Oof. I think New England wins, but I think they win by one.
See, I have Jacksonville winning by one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good line, though. That's a really good line.
It is a very good line. I won't be touching it. Yeah, I will be taking the under, I think, in this game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, Sunday Night Football, the New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. What's your takeaway?
I am so excited about this game. I saw the Giants against Jacksonville last week. I loved it. I loved it. I think Eli is going to have a monster game. Cam Newton didn't take advantage of all the openings that Dallas gave him, and I think Eli will. OBJ is going to show out. Ingram, I know I'm really low on him, but he had a lot of drops last week. It was a little unfortunate for fantasy owners for him. But the big guy in this game is going to be Barkley. He had one big run against Jacksonville. We saw what he could do. I think he's going to be the workhorse, and I think he's going to tear up Dallas.
Dude, that run by Barkley was super impressive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how he stayed in bounds and, you know, how many tackles he broke to break that 68-yard run. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think this is going to be a time in which the Giants kind of flex their muscle a little bit. They've got a ton of weapons. I'm a little worried about Ingram in terms of the amount of weapons that they had, that they have, and kind of how they showed themselves in the first game. I just worry that there's not going to be enough, you know, there's too many mouths to feed in this offense. So, and I was a big Ingram guy coming into the year, so I'm a little bit worried about that. I hope the talent kind of weighs out because he's definitely a big red zone target and a big talented guy that should be useful on a team like the Giants. On the other side of the ball for Dallas, I mean, obviously Cole Beasley was the big guy in terms of targets and receptions in week one. Do you think that continues?
Real quick before we go back, that's the other bet. That's the other bet that we had. It was Evan Ingram. You were a big Ingram guy. I'm not a big Ingram guy.
I will go back and listen to the NFC's podcast and figure it out.
I want to say it was a top seven overall. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, and I took the – I think you took that, and I definitely didn't take that. So I think that's the other bet, but we'll come back to that. As far as Dallas's offense, I mean, it's kind of boring, man. Allen Hurns didn't do anything. Gallup didn't do much of anything either. I know there's Cole Beasley there, but it's basically just Zeke for me. I mean, that's basically it. And this whole offense, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to be the fourth guy out of the top four that were drafted this year because he's the only guy on that offense.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Beasley will be I think we're going to see – obviously, Terrence Williams is not in this equation, but I think the top three guys between Hurns, Beasley, and Gallup are going to rotate week to week. It's going to be super frustrating to own any of these guys. I have a couple shares of Gallup, a couple shares of Hurns, but I don't feel comfortable starting either of them in really any situation. Elliott is pretty much the guy. Like you said, he's the only guy that really matters in this entire offense in terms of fantasy. At this point, you're starting him. He is a machine. But I almost worry that Dallas is going to be down so much that they're going to have to abandon the run. And what does that do to his overall lines?
Yeah. You get a trade offer today. You have Zeke. Are you trading him for Gordon and up, basically? So he was drafted as like the fourth guy out of the top four. But then there's Gordon at the end of the round, Kamara, Fournette. Sometimes
I don't think I am, because if I'm believing in a guy that much, I am going to stand by that.
Yeah, I don't know if I can now, but the one thing that I'm worried about is that offer won't be there later in the year, and I think Gordon has more of a solidified role, and the offense is a little bit more impressive as a whole.
I think I'm more likely to do Gordon in a sweetener. Someone offers me Gordon and Keelan Cole. Someone offers me Gordon and I'm trying to think of like kind of a lower end wide receiver. you know.
Marvin Jones.
Sure. I think I'm more likely to do something like that. But if I took Zeke fourth overall, then I think you got to stand by him at least for the first couple weeks. I'm not a big proponent of big shakeups early on in a season.
Yeah, I get that, but
I wasn't a big Zeke guy. I have no shares of Zeke. I was not taking him in the top five or top six of drafts. He was a back end first rounder in that Gordon area for me, anyways. You know, and that thus I don't have any shares. But I think if you made that decision, you need to stick by it for right now.
Yeah, I'm not a proponent of taking big trades at the beginning of the year either. But I don't have any shares of him either. But as bad as Arizona looked, I have more confidence in David Johnson having a better year than I do, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah,
yep, definitely. I agree with you. All right, New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. Who you got? The Cowboys are 3-point favorites.
Oh yeah, New York's going to take this in a landslide. And actually, you know, back to our Tom Brady conversation, I'm going to take Eli Manning before I take Tom Brady in DFS this year. This week.
Wow. I'm not going to make that a board bet, but I really want to.
I mean, Eli's going to show out.
I have too much respect
out.
For Jacksonville's defense.
Yeah.
All right, Chicago Bears or I am just all over the place. Seattle Seahawks at the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football. Doug Baldwin, it is out for a while. What are you doing with this Seattle offense?
The other thing besides Baldwin is Chris Carson and Rashad Penny exactly split the shares, 44% for each as far as offensive snaps. So that's a little bit frustrating for people that were taking Carson
that's gonna
as
– change this week.
In which favor? In Penny?
Carson.
Really?
Yeah. Carson's going to be the Thunder. Penny's going to be the Lightning.
I don't see it that way. If Penny missed the whole preseason and comes back week one and he gets the same timeshare as Chris Carson, I think Penny's going to overstake
right,
that job.
Board bet more carries this week. Chris Carson versus Rashad Penny.
Oh, how about touches?
Well, no, it's Thunder and Lightning. Like, you know, the whole point is, you know, Carson's going to do the running and Penny's going to do the receiving.
Yeah, I can't take that one because I think that Chicago actually blows this one out. I think they blow out Seattle this week. Mm. So
see,
I think
that's why I can't do the touches because I think they'll be throwing quite a bit in this game.
You're not supposed to think outside the box, Justin. That's my job.
This one was really well inside the box.
So with Doug Baldwin missing the game, are you firing up Tyler Lockett anywhere?
No, because I am not a Tyler Lockett guy. But
I know,
I am
but
firing
he's the
up
only
Brandon
guy.
Marshall.
Brandon Marshall, though, really?
I've always been a Brandon Marshall guy, and I'm also firing up Will Disley.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
He's
but
my replacement for Greg Olsen in that league that I lost
really?
Olsen in.
Yeah, I mean, he looked impressive. I still think Nick Monette has a role, so that could probably take him into Disley's, you know, performance moving forward. But
Disley
for
was
me,
supposed to be the blocking tight end. But because the offensive line sucks so bad in Seattle, he's actually on the field more than Renette. So I think because of that, he'll have some plays where he releases off and he's kind of forgotten about by the defense. And that's pretty much what happened in the Seahawks Broncos game. I think the fact that he's the better blocker keeps him on the field for longer. It's almost like talk about this in baseball. Like Matt Chapman is such a good defensive player that. He gets to stay on the field even when he struggles offensively, I think, because Disley is such a great blocker. He'll stay on the field more often and be a more valuable target in the passing game.
Yeah, I still don't think you're going to get a performance like he had this past Sunday
no,
ever
for
again.
Sure not. Yeah, no.
Not even close. So.
But he could easily get 40 yards and a touchdown.
It's possible.
Or
it's 20 I mean,
yards touchdown.
They really don't have anybody else. So,
yeah, exactly.
And Russell Wilson's going to find the open guy. And
well, and
you know,
I think Disley can run some of these shorter routes that Baldwin was running, like these crossing routes. These, you know, and because they, you know, Lockett can't run those. Marshall's not going to run those. They need someone who's going to run kind of those over the middle shorter routes that Baldwin excelled at. And I think Disley's one of those guys that could do that.
Yeah, I'm going for Lockett more than Brandon Marshall for me. I think
so
with Doug
Baldwin.
Yeah, he is, but no Doug Baldwin. That's the big thing. And, you know, in the past, whenever Baldwin would miss games, they still had Jimmy Graham. And then they still had, you know, Jermaine Kearse and people like that. But it's basically him and Marshall. I mean, there's nobody else that can come up and,
shouldn't have cut, you know, take him.
So, I mean, probably more DFS. And that's probably one of the reasons I'm not going towards the Russell Wilson well this week either. He's probably going to be either a low-end QB1 or right outside the top 12 for me. This is another chalk thing with Chicago at home.
I think Wilson will be fine. Wilson always finds a way.
Yeah, he does. But Chicago Bears defense at home last year was awesome. And if you don't remember, they didn't have Khalil Mack last year.
I do know that. I'm glad they traded for him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Bears side. Howard looks like kind of the horse of this offense. You know, they're going up against Seattle, who just let Philip Lindsay run all over them. So I think Howard is obviously an RB1 this week. Do you think Tariq Cohen gets more run?
I think he, not necessarily run. I think he gets more catches, routes, yeah, and stuff like that. I think he'll still be a part of the game plan. But Jordan Howard, I mean, I was firing him up as an RB1 in most of my leagues, and he was going at RB2 prices. So, yeah. I mean, the way he runs.
Him and Tyreek Hill are my two most owned guys.
Yeah. Stop. Get off your high horse, Justin. It's week two. but the way he runs, it's just so interesting because he doesn't look like he should be getting these chunks and chunks of yardage that he gets. He's not overly powerful. He's not overly elusive, but he gets the job done. So I think the best thing for the Bears to do is to give him the ball and let him run. But the one thing I'm glad to see is this is the last game that Chicago's on primetime for a while. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to see Khalil Mack make history in the first half ever again.
I mean, the way they're playing, they could be a playoff team.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a little bit scared about that.
They're not going to be a playoff team. Mitch Trubisky still sucks. I'm super excited about this running game. Trubisky is still he's still learning how to play the position, so I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains. I was very enthused about how good Allen Robinson looked, and that Anthony Miller was on the field more than a lot of other rookie wide receivers. So caught two passes, 14 yards. Hopefully the Bears don't go into conservative mode because that's what cost them game. Any worries about Trey Burton, who only caught one pass?
I don't think so. Like you said, Trubisky didn't look very good. I think your exact words was he sucks. But, you know, moving forward for Burton, I still think he's going to be right in there in the top tier one of tight ends. And there was a picture that was floating around on Twitter all week about how wide open he was. And there was like the comments that said this resulted in a negative 5 yard play. And there was like no defender within 10 yards of him in the end zone. So that's a little frustrating, but like you said, Trubisky's kind of new to the position. So he'll start to learn it moving forward. But for me, I got Chicago in this game big time.
You have Chicago winning big time. I have it as a close game.
No, I think this defense is going to be great, especially at home. And
yeah, I think it's
going to
be super low scoring and that it's going to be like a 3-point game.
Yeah, I think they win by at least two scores.
It's going to be like one of those really awful Monday Night Football games. Like I remember a few years ago, probably like 10 years ago now, the Redskins played the Giants on Monday Night Football and the final score was 5-3.
Ah, was that with Doug Williams or?
No, I'm not that old.
Oh.
Thanks a lot, dude. All right. Let's see. Seahawks at Chicago. Chicago's 3.5-point favorite. You're taking the Bears. I'm taking the Bears to win, but the Seahawks to cover.
All right.
All right. That's going to wrap us up. What are you up to these days? Where can people reach on social media?
You can find me at CWeatherWax13. I'm doing this podcast and wrapping up the baseball season as well. So, you can look for me on there and hit me up if you have any questions or, you know, want to take my side in most of these board bets that I'm doing with Justin.
Currently we have, 7 board bets. One is already completed. I am up 1-0 so far. We'll keep a running track of this. I am the reigning champion of the board bets, beating out, I believe it was Mike and Eli the last time we kept track of these. So you have a long, or a big hill to climb.
Yeah, I'm only down one, so I'm pretty sure
I'm just
that the
saying, you know.
competition this year is a little bit better than it has been in the past.
Wow. I know Eli doesn't listen to this, but I'm sure Mike will eventually.
No, I'll tell him not to listen. It's fine.
That's probably a good idea. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Email me or the show, friendsofhennesseybenefits@gmail.com. You can read my weekly piece over at Fantasy Alarm, which is an in-depth preview of every single fantasy-relevant player in every single game this week or every week. I do that all the way through the Super Bowl, so definitely enjoy that. It's free. Not everything at Fantasy Alarm is free, but my article, my preview piece is free over there. Then you can catch my baseball stuff at Fangraphs and all my football and baseball stuff at Friends of Fantasy Benefits. And that's going to wrap us up for this episode. For Colin and myself, thank you for listening. Fantastic football season.